beginning to look a lot like Boogaloo! All right, everybody, we are back. This is season 4. Oh, man, it is holidamned, because that's what the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo fellas are. We are holidamned today. This is episode 1, and we are talking about the Juiceploitation movie, The Hebrew Hammer. And I am happy to be 8th Dan, Stan the Man, and welcome, my good friends. I got Jack Hall. What are you calling yourself today, Jack?
Jack Hall.
Okay, good stuff.
Not deck the Jack. Oh, deck the yeah. Halls.
Deck the Hall.
You know what? A lot of people do want to hit me.
that's probably true. None of them women. But, all right, moving on. We got James Jim Carter.
I'm here to spin the dreidel and light the candelabra thing.
That's the candelabra.
Light my menorah. Spin the dreidel and light my menorah. That's what I was going for. Let's do that. Apparently, I still have things to learn from the Hebrew Hammer.
Oh, I'm verklempt with all of this. But and finally, Nick Boxer's in the house.
Greetings and salutations. I'm bringing up the rear, batting cleanup. I like the new order.
Bringing up the rear. Perfect.
Are there other Juiceploitation movies?
That's a good question.
I can't think of one. It's okay, because we got all the jokes in this one.
Oh, yeah. They just decided to lay it all on the line for this movie. Okay, well, Nick Boxer, I don't know what you're calling it, but why don't you step up on the soapbox and tell us all about the Hebrew Hammer?
Oh, there are a ton of reasons not to. Just a ton. Yes, our hero, the Hebrew Hammer, is out to save Hanukkah because Santa's nephew, played by Andy Dick, whose name is Santa Damien. I have no idea what that means or if that's a joke or a pun or what the hell that is. But Santa Damien seems to have a plan to destroy the Jewish holiday either by stealing all the Jewidium from some sort of clock or by distributing public domain Christmas movies on the street to Jews. I don't know. I saw this movie and I kind of giggled a couple times. That okay. is what I saw. Can somebody else tell me what the hell went on in this movie?
No, I think that's the best synopsis you've given us yet.
There's
and it's all put in a framework of parodying 1970s blaxploitation films, particularly Shaft and Superfly.
There's especially off the top, there's a lot of Shaft because they really work that whole theme song a lot.
I love that they reworked the Shaft theme song. Yes.
Yeah, it's impressive. This is one of those movies where they, I think the goal, like it must have taken, I would swear, probably longer to write it than actually to shoot it, because there's so many jokes and various references in here that I feel like they just took the time to try to put all of them in, because I'm not sure they figured they would get another one out after this. And that's pretty fair, you know, because I really, really, truly would be shocked if we ever saw another Hebrew Hammer coming out.
I mean, the Hebrew Hammer versus Hitler was first announced in 2013 by Adam Goldberg that he wanted to do it. And so, and he crowdfunded it in 2017, and you know it's listed on IMDb as in development. I don't know where it stands, So there's some of your Christmas cheer. This year's
Adam Goldberg is screwed off with your crowdfunding money.
It's very possible.
Was the crowdfunding successful? Because according to this movie, Jews have all the money.
Yeah. Well, like I say, 2013, he first talked about it. And the plot is, because this one isn't crazy enough, get this sequel is that after Trump gets in power, he decides to go back in time and kill anti-Semitism before it really happens and really takes hold in society, because he thinks it's gotten too bad now. And he figures he can get rid of it, make it less offensive now if he just kills Hitler. So he goes back in time to do that. So that's the sequel so if that was crowdfunded, I will be surprised.
Well, perhaps
I don't know what the 2013 plot was, but
perhaps they decided to go with it another way, and they were crowdfunding to stop him from making the movie.
Well, like, I mean, it's not the. I mean, from what I can see, that the guy who wrote and directed this one, which was what was his name? Something Kesselman?
Jonathan Kesselman.
Kesselman, yeah, and he hasn't really had a career since then. he hasn't really had no career since this, and he doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Hebrew Hammer versus Hitler, which I will say in its full title every time, because as a title, up there with the very best we're going to hear.
I wonder if they'd have circumcised dick jokes in that sequel.
Well, no. Is there any left?
I don't think so.
Well, no.
Hammer that whole thing home. I was actually counting, and then I lost count. I can't count that high every time they made that particular joke. Oh, and I didn't know Jewish and blowjob worked. But there seems to be some sort of trope I was unaware of within the Jewish community about oral sex.
Well, and the circumcised joke is kind of it's used over and over and over. But most men in the U.S. are circumcised. So it keeps coming up as this percentage wise. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what you got downstairs. Don't matter.
Oh no.
Yes. Of course, everything's been studied, and this is an easy one. This is literally low hanging fruit as far as, as far as things to study. Hey, Stan, are we ready to get into scoring? Oh.
No, I think Jim needs to spend an hour watching Pornhub to count, just to back up the facts.
Those are mostly from Italy, though. I don't know, like it auto-populates, you just play whatever. I don't have time to go through everything on Pornhub. I just play whatever is the first thing that's on.
when I was watching the movie,
17 seconds and then you're done.
Not Pornhub. Wasn't watching Pornhub, but when I was watching the movie, which maybe they should put on Pornhub, that might get it more of an audience. But I actually found like the first like 5 minutes I found really quite funny. I laughed quite a bit. And then they really dug into the whole Hebrew Hammer bit, and I didn't laugh nearly as much going forward, because it's one of those cases where I found like I thought the joke got played out pretty quickly.
I love the gag when Judy Greer comes by his office, and the woman comes in and interrupts them with like the hard-boiled detective story. And he's like, you want Mike Hammer down the hall?
And then she walks through three doors, which of course don't exist with the thing. I did enjoy that. There's so much stuff in here that I think that it's impossible to not find something to enjoy. It's just the problem is there's so much stuff in here that there's too much stuff.
Over quality, but there is quality occasionally through here.
Yeah.
There's some really, really clever jokes, but I mean, it is like the Abrams Zucker, you know, Naked Gun.
Just keep throwing jokes at it.
Yeah, but not as consistently funny. Whereas those hit about seven out of 10 times, you know, maybe 6 out of 10. And there's just so many. This was hitting more at a 15, 20% rate, which
so is so, was kind so of like the Abram Zucker after Airplane is what you're saying.
It's a little,
you know, more, a laugh track would have helped this movie.
It's a little less highbrow than an Abram Zucker movie.
The Kwanzaa Liberation Front, or whatever they called themselves, is my favorite part of the film. With Muhammad Ali, Paula Abdul Rahim as the leader.
Well, that's it. And hey, and getting the cast that they did, you know, Mario Van Peebles, you've even got Melvin Van Peebles in a cameo as Sweetback, which was great.
He's looking good. I mean, you can tell it's near the end of his life, but he's looking good. I love Melvin Van Peebles.
What year was this film? What, like 2003?
Three.
I think it is. Yeah, 2003.
Well, it was released in 2000 or in January 2003. So I'm guessing 2002. That's
fine. Jonathan Kesselman was involved in the crowdfunding. I'm trying to see if this thing got funded.
And can we still support it? That's the other question. Can we still get in on this action?
Oh, I'm sure you could send Adam Goldberg a couple bucks. I don't think he's worked since.
What?
He was on Taken this year on the TV show. Oh. He was a cast member on that. So, no, he's worked quite a bit.
Did anyone see Taken? I mean, anywhere?
Which one was Taken?
I have no idea.
This was a TV show based on the Liam Neeson. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you now. I thought it was one of those ones, one of those 800 shows where like 50 people disappear and then they reappear and that's the whole thing. I thought that was Taken.
No, I assume it's based on the another TV show called Graves. So no, he's you know, in the Jim
Gaffigan. I'm sure Adam Goldberg has worked quite a lot.
Yeah, he's you know, he's Adam Goldberg. I mean, he never quite hit. Like, I remember the first time I saw him, I was like, this guy's great. It was on Love and War with, what do you call him? Who's that girl? You know, she was in the Partridge Family. What was that show? You know that show? That one. And I thought, this guy's great.
Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah. And I thought he was going to be a big star. Susan Day? And I mean, they wanted to do this movie with like Ben Stiller or what's his name? The swimmer from David Schwimmer, yeah. You know, and they couldn't get them. They ended up getting Adam Goldberg. He said he took the movie because he saw the line, Shabbat Shalom, motherfuckers, and was like, I got to do this movie. That's his quote. That's what sold him on doing it.
That's a great line.
Oh, yeah. It's, too bad there wasn't more of that.
Well, you know,
it's a bit of a drive between them, but they're there.
They're there.
Those kinds of jokes are there.
It's because they're too busy doing everything else. I
mean, like, it just kind of wears on you. Like, I was like, the first like it does. Like the first 20 minutes, I'm like, man, I'm really enjoying this. This is fun. And then by the end, you're like, oh man, that was a bit of a. It's kind of a marathon, wasn't it? Like.
Yeah, that's if the they had a more thing. Credible villain than Andy Dick, do you think the movie would have been better?
No, I think the movie would have been better without Andy Dick. Don't get me wrong.
What?
But
what?
But I think that of everything that Andy Dick is in.
Oh, come on, Andy Dick. I mean, jeez.
Hey, he's just.
Oh, come on. He's terrible.
He's terrible.
Of course
dude.
He is. That's part of the charm of Andy Dick. He's terrible.
I love seeing the guy from Fright Night. As Tiny Tim. I thought that was great. I thought the randomness of Tiny Tim hanging out with Damien Glass.
I did enjoy Tiny Tim and his tattoo, Thug Life.
This sequel, this might be more interesting. We should just keep studying this and do a show on this. From what I can tell, they tried to crowdsource it so many different places, including this one called Juicer, the chosen crowdfunding platform. Where they asked for $50,000 and got $52,999.
Oh man, I'm not sure I want to know. I don't want to know about the crowdfunding that's called Juicer.
Juicer. Juicer.
Is that the one that gets you onto Pornhub?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Maybe they should sell some of that juinium or whatever. whatever it's called.
I laughed so hard at that. Like that might have been my biggest laugh of the whole movie was when he's explaining the giant clock that powers the Jewish calendar.
The crowdfunding from Juicer was 2013. Since then, it has definitely been crowdfunded on at least two other platforms.
they're just trying to get some money.
Sorry, Jim. Please go ahead. So sorry. I could not say that. So awesome. What were you saying?
So after many tries to end Hanukkah for reasons, Damian Claus is going to destroy the Jewish calendar that is powered by, is it Jewidium? Is that what we're going with? Jewidium?
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
And then he says, the line that just slayed me was, it's an element so rare, it is only found inside the clock.
Yeah, how it got in the clock, we'll never know.
Yeah. There's not enough Jewidium left to fry an egg.
How much do you need to fry an egg?
Sorry, that's an inside joke. But it was a good one.
All right, I have a question. So there's a point at which
a question.
There's a point at which Damian Claus is at a mall doing an appearance
for some reason,
and there's some like thuggish mafia guys guarding the line again for some reason, and there's two scantily clad elves. Young women who are hanging out with Damian Claus.
Well, that I get.
But the question is, how low was the budget on this movie that those were the hottest women they could afford to have stand next to him and not say any lines?
it was the fact that it was Andy Dick, so therefore they had to continue lowering it.
Well, be the women who were hanging out with Andy Dick that day. And they threw some costumes on him. Like, we don't have to pay up scale as long as they don't say anything.
You know, actually casting this movie, they might have just taken a season of this real life and, you know, moved them over.
This was one of the daily challenges on the Surreal Life. Okay, we've got an afternoon clear. We're all gonna pile in the car and go film an entire movie this afternoon.
That would explain so much.
Adam Goldberg's gonna meet us over there.
Oh, yeah. We'll do some fill in shots to start the movie afterwards. Yeah, it's amazing, but there's no doubt that I think if you could cut this down to about 30 to 40 minutes, would be awesome. It would be absolutely awesome. You'd probably really enjoy watching it.
But, you know, we could be talking about the greatest sitcom pilot never picked up. If that happened.
Yeah, that's true. As like an Adult Swim animated show or something like that on Netflix series.
This begs
series
to be an animated Adult Swim. Just begs for it, actually.
Yeah.
That's what they should do with the property.
I mean, they did that with the Black Dynamite. They made that.
Yeah. I think it's too close to Black Dynamite, though.
Well, of course it is.
That was better.
So, well, yes. But it was also not as Boogaloo. I'll totally give it that.
It was not as Boogaloo, and you know what's better in both of them? I'm gonna get you, sucker.
Oh yes, yes.
Though
less good on repeat viewings, I thought. But
my secret love was the one with the Eddie Griffin. Chris Kattan,
undercover brother.
Yeah. Undercover brother.
I only enjoy Chris Kattan when he gets killed in the first 2 minutes of a movie.
Yes.
But when does that happen? That is definitely the best.
As long as Fran Drescher is sitting beside him, I'm good on that.
We're not talking that movie yet. What are you doing, Nick?
You started it. Don't open the door if you don't want me to go through.
All right. So
let's score this sucker.
Yes, let's score this sucker.
Because I was about to say something that I'm like, no, I'll save that for.
All right. We are here. I can't believe it's season four already. That's, I know. That's amazing. They said it wouldn't last.
Where did the time go?
Mostly my neighbors.
Well, they asked it not to last.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
They were begging. But much like this movie, we keep going.
And we're full of Andy Dick.
Andy circumcised Dick.
In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each movie we talk about in five categories, none of which are objective quality, which is going to work in favor for Abraham. We start, as always, with Stan, and the first category we call Schlock Appeal.
Well, there's a lot to be said for this movie because there is a lot in this movie. There's a lot of laughs in it, and there's a lot of, you know, sleepy time in it. But the laughs, I consider it to be an engaging movie for a little bit and really very schlocky in all of it. I'm going to give it 6 uncircumcised dicks. No circumcised dicks. No, I'm giving it uncircumcised dicks.
You know what? I'm giving this a seven, just on the basis of it does have shock appeal because I own a DVD copy of this.
Well, you own a DVD copy of everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really
just to keep alongside my blaxploitation films.
So if it's
I own
to keep
it for the box art alone. So I think that counts as a 7 on the shock appeal meter.
So it's good to keep all sploitation movies together.
Yeah.
I think race movies.
It's nice to have a place that if the aliens come down and they want to know about our culture, that we can lead them to.
Okay, I just need to break in for a second here. So I just went to the Wikipedia page because it does say 2003 American Jewsploitation comedy film. So I thought to myself, so Jewsploitation is a link. So I think, well, what comes up when I click on Jewsploitation? It takes you right back to Hebrew Hammer.
not a fast growing.
So
that's better than any. That's funnier than any of the jokes in the movie. Now there were some good ones. Now I only got a 4 on this because, like, to me, schlock appeal is that appeal where it's so bad it's good. Like, there's so much Ninja 3, The Domination, right? Like, it's like, they really thought, it's hilarious that she poured the V8 juice all over herself, and that they don't realize that that was a bad idea is what makes it so hilarious. And whereas everything in this is what they wanted it to be.
Yeah, but so, in fairness, Andy Dick is in this.
Yeah. 4.
And lots of people think that was a good idea. lots of people out there, you know who you'd be good in this, Andy Dick.
Oh, God. Why hasn't he OD'd yet?
Andy Dick is just made of drugs. That's why. He is 100% just drugs. It's impossible for him to OD. I'm kind of in the zone with everyone. I was going to give this a 6, and then I realized this is the first time that the word schlock, which is a Yiddish word meaning cheap, is being applied to a Jewsploitation film. Gave it a bonus for that, so I'm giving this an 8. It comes with preloaded with schlock.
Preloaded with schlock.
Now, our next category we call More Heart Than Budget. There's a horse race right there. Does it have more heart or more budget?
Well, it didn't have a lot of budget, but God damn, it had no heart whatsoever.
I believe both die before the finish line in that race.
Yeah. I think they actually just need to be shot completely, like thunk to the back of the head. Overall, 2.
A 2. Oof.
Wow. All right. You know what? I'm going with a 5 just because I don't know which way to go. I mean, This could be an $80 million movie, but Andy Dick snorted it before the shooting started. It seems like a real movie, but cheap. I don't know. Five.
It's $1.3 million is the budget on this thing. And okay. here's the thing. I mean, it's a parody of the blaxploitation. So, and they set it up like, so you're like, man, there's going to be some like action. And then there's just jokes. And they never get more heart than budget because there's no action. There's nothing where you're like, oh, that, how they managed to really maximize this budget. How much to have a 7-minute scene in an elevator where people are just joke. How much money does that cost? So,
yeah. Oh,
I can't give it a high score. I give it a 4.
Did they spend it all on Jewidium?
that giant fucking clock at the end. That's where all the money went.
You know, Jack swayed me. I'm going down. I want to be on the foresight as well. That was a good argument.
It's a good argument.
Compelling argument there. Oh man, I don't know, 4. I got 4 written down.
See, it's the scientific method that we use that really makes us credible.
Hey folks, we're not just pulling these numbers out of our hats.
Hey, you know what? We're lucky if it's the right movie we're scoring.
That's very lucky.
That's always a big win for us.
It wasn't.
Well, yes, but on the one side of the coin, when we do say at the end, well, oh, I was scoring that juice exploitation movie, you know that it's only one. So,
all right, our next category we call what the fuck moments.
Well, I mean, this one, the whole movie is kind of a what the fuck moment in and of itself. There's a lot of. There's a lot of moments like the point where they're in the mall and Adam Goldberg and Judy Greer are trying to be like Anglo white Christians. That's a very odd moment.
Gentiles.
They must yes. be,
do not watch this movie with Gentile as your drinking game word. You will die.
Oh yes, there's actually a lot of them, and so that's a real positive. I'm gonna go with a 7.
All right.
This movie did not meet a joke it did not like, but the people making the jokes weren't that creative. You know what? I'm giving it a 4 just for the dog. The diaper dog joke.
Cat?
Cat. What's cat? Cat. It's the cat named Mazel Tov.
Okay. just the WTF, but it doesn't land, so does it count?
Oh, it's much like the like Peter Coyote is Jewish Justice League Chief Blumen Bergen Steinenthal, who's constantly eating bagels with lox and whatever the fuck else they eat with the bagels and lox. But
a schmear. You need a schmear.
Schmear, yeah. But he's constantly eating, and it wasn't funny the first time, and it wasn't funny the 42nd time that they put it out there.
I was thinking about the cat in a diaper joke, and you know the comedy
a
tradition
diaper,
is
a diaper,
a diaper. Yeah. So the comedy rule is the rule of three. You do something the third time, it's hilarious, which is why that they only did the cat in a diaper joke twice. You don't want to overdo that by making it hilarious.
Trust me, it wasn't going to be hilarious the third time. I guarantee you it wasn't.
Look, I liked cat. I wrote down cat in a diaper on my notes. I like that joke.
I
See, something for everyone.
It really appeals across from people who like Andy Dick to people who like Cats and Diapers.
And is the Ed Koch cameo retroactive WTF?
I was actually going to ask if this would have been funnier if we'd watched it in 2003 than 2000.
Well, I mean, he was New York mayor in 1992. So, like,
he was Saturday Night Live reruns and Letterman reruns.
He took over for Judge Wapner on the People's Court from 97 to 99. This is 2003. It's already. Now, don't get me wrong. When I do my WTFs, that's the big one. I had two that I thought of. One was Ed Koch. It was supposed to be Joe Lieberman, by the way, but they couldn't get him.
That makes sense.
So they got Ed Koch, former mayor of New York, for no reason. And it really is a joke that's not funny. It's just like...
Well, they brought him up earlier in the movie.
Yeah, but it's just like they just turn and look at, what do you think, Joe Koch? And he's tied up in a chair or whatever, and he gets up and walks off. It's like, what?
And then, well, he says, how am I doing? Which is Ed Koch's catchphrase from 25 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the other WTF that's not as big to me, but I still have to, even though it was done on purpose, Adam Goldberg shirt off in those, with that chest hair, the trail to the around the belly button, the extra hair going down to those blue, right, bright blue little trunks.
And his banana that he added to it after. Actually, yes. No, it wasn't a banana. It was a very obvious circumcised dildo or whatever it was, because there's no doubt it like he could move with that thing and it stayed completely solid
right where it was
the whole way. But and it was very obviously circumcised.
It is a circumcised dick. Yes.
Yes.
So WTF for that sucker. So I got, like I say, there's not a lot to me because most of the stuff that was in this was exactly what they wanted it to be. So it isn't like that, like, why did they choose that, like, kind of, you know, incompetence moment. So I only get a six, but because those two are significant to me though.
All right. I was going to say the pants filler that follows you as you move, like it just keeps staring at you. That's I think the one of the weirdest spots of this movie is when they're trying to escape from the Santa's village thing, and they end up in this underground It's a Small World ride underneath city that tells them the history of Judaism and all the horrible events that have happened in the history of Judaism, including
Hitler,
the pyramids, and full price in a mall, I think is the last one, isn't it? it comes and goes, and I don't know, this whole movie is like a Saturday Night Live sketch if it was actually as long as the bad ones feel.
Yes. This could have been, you know what this is like? This is like Night at the Roxbury.
Actually, you know,
one of those sketches from like after, yeah. Like it comes on after the news on Saturday Night Live.
Where they don't have enough jokes for a full movie, but they did it anyways. Yeah.
You know, and it feels like it's 85 minutes long. Yeah.
When you talk about that scene, what I actually really consider the what the fuck is the fact that the reactions to them cutting away, like when they cut back to them in the little trolley, the railroad moving them across, and they're like outrageously laughing and doing things like that, and it's completely different than what you would expect them to be doing when Hitler's like torturing a Jew, but it's like, ah! And so to me, that's the real what the fuck element of that moment.
All right, well, I gave it a five. memorable moments.
Oh boy!
What's the part of this that you're going to carry through your life going forward, Stan? Like when people mention, oh, Hanukkah, it's first day of Hanukkah today, and you're like, I saw a movie about Hanukkah.
You're going to be like, I saw a movie about Hanukkah. It was Jews exploitation movie. Yeah. Had Andy Dick in it. But yeah, I forgot the rest. A 3.
Yeah, I'm only going as high as a 2 on this one. As I said earlier, I own this film. I have seen this film before, but when it was suggested for this season, I went, was there a holiday in that movie? I remembered nothing from it. And I did not remember Andy Dick was in it. That came as a surprise. Melvin Van Peebles was the only, Melvin and Mario were the only two guys that I went, oh, it had those guys in it. This is going to be good. Yeah, 2.
Yeah, and I'm going stronger. It didn't have a lot. Like, don't get me wrong, but to me though, it had one that was so incredibly memorable, and like awesome. And the movie starts off with I don't know how long it is. It's probably 10 minutes. Like the Hebrew Hammer as a kid. And it's, you know, it has the jokes, it kind of sets up the film, but it's a little boring. And then you get to the opening sequence of the actual Hebrew Hammer grown up to this incredible blaxploitation parody song. And just that opening sequence of him walking around and everybody loving him and him helping people. And like that to me is one of the great movie openings I can ever remember. So it's so strong, and I demand that music gets dropped into this podcast somehow. That music, that song was great and hilarious. So I it's only one though, so I can't go too high, but I am going to give it a bonus. I was going to go 5. I'm going to go to 6 because I just looking it up. I just saw in irony this deserves the bonus for the fact that this movie was they were sued by the anti Defamation League because in the ultimate irony, because of course this movie has their version of that, it's like superheroes, they were concerned that it might promote unfavorable images of Jews, so and considering that and it also by the way was few and also sued by, though it didn't even get to court, but also was sued by Christian groups that are argued that the film was portrayed mostly Christians as being anti-Semitic and intolerant. And I think both of these groups are idiots because the whole point is it offends everybody equally. So, you know, you can't say you're picking on me when they're picking on everybody. So for that, I'm going to give it an extra bonus and I'm going to go up to 6.
I think they're very respectful of Kwanzaa, honestly. Yeah. Probably more than Kwanzaa might deserve.
I actually had to look up the other day whether Kwanzaa was still officially a thing.
As of 2003, yes. We were unable to find a Kwanzaa film to put into the season, though. So that about tells you. There are a few Kwanzaa films. None of them are Boogaloo. I looked hard looking for a Kwanzaa film to put in here, and it just isn't. Kwanzaa is not. It is a thing. It's not enough of a thing that you're allowed to make fun of it. That's what I found out. So there's no Boogaloo.
Hands off Kwanzaa!
Yeah.
We could watch a Futurama episode, maybe.
So, that sounded like a threat. To me,
that's always a dream.
I did enjoy where the Hebrew Hammer gets sent into a neo-Nazi bar because they're trying to have an accident happen to the Hebrew Hammer. So he gets sent to this Nazi bar, and on the wall they have the beer list: Auschwitz Ale, the Ava Blonde, which I thought was quite clever, Old Adolf, and Aryan Ale, and the pinball game that they have is called the Gestapo Pool Party.
So yeah.
Yeah,
that's funny. You should have got
the set designer to write this movie.
Obviously,
I don't remember anything else that happened, so I'll give
way clever.
3 for that for me. All right, last category we call crazy concept.
Well, I mean, just a juiceploitation movie in general seems like a crazy concept. The fact that they're parodying Shaft and other blaxploitation movies, yeah, that's not really a crazy concept at all. I'm going to have to just go with a 4.
You know what? I'll go as high as a 5. It is the only juiceploitation movie.
That's why I went with a 4.
Yeah, no, it's the only, is nobody's thought of it before. Nobody's thought of it since. It, to me, in some ways, that makes it
a bad, like, idea.
Yeah, but an original one, kind of crazy. On the other hand, it doesn't feel crazy. It feels simple. It feels like this is the type of thing, honestly, that would have been, that, like, I could have seen Stan on South Park in doing some sort of, in a juiceploitation parody moment on a 20-minute episode of hilarious South Park that this would have been better as. So
yes, it would have been.
Yeah, 4.
It's funny. Someone mentioned that you mentioned in the trivia, and I don't think you have a term for the trivia this year. You'll have to work on
holiday.
That.
Let's call it holiday cheer.
Holiday cheer. I like that a lot. Yeah. I'm going to give that an 8. I'm going to give the movie a 3, because you mentioned that Ben Stiller was someone they tried to get, and I immediately thought, was this a sketch on the Ben Stiller show? Because feels like it would have been perfect for the Ben Stiller show.
Perhaps a little too funny, maybe.
I might have accidentally had some laughs, and wouldn't want that on the Ben Stiller show.
No, that would have broken their record.
All right,
wasn't that opening musical, credit sequence with him helping? Wasn't that great?
Oh yeah, like I the first time I started watching this, I watched as far as that song, and I'm like, this is amazing. We got to have this in the season. And then we put it in the season, and then I watched the rest of it.
Yeah, and the rest of it.
But hey, think about it. In 5 years, when we decide to do this all over again, somebody will suggest the Hebrew Hammer, and we'll be like, and we'll watch the first 5 minutes and think, hey, this is great. And then forget that we watched the rest of it.
So in this future that you're predicting, are we doing a different show where we have to find B movies again? And we haven't kept any notes for the first show?
Oh, I'm sure the sequel will be out by then.
It will be the search for the ultimate juiceploitation movie.
That's right. The genre is going to catch on any day now. As soon as the sequel to this comes out, it'll be like when Armageddon and Deep Impact came out at the same time. Like, every studio will have a juiceploitation movie coming out.
Exactly.
Be the whole summer.
Yeah. Croc Rock is coming back as well. So
is it too late to is it too late to replace a movie with another movie in this season? Because unfortunately,
this bad boy.
not this one. I just, holy shit! I can't believe that this is a thing. Anyways, off air. Maybe it's better off air.
Yeah, let's wrap this bad boy up. So every season we have 6 secret modifiers that alter the final score. This movie has none of them. So that leaves us a final total of 45.5.
Wow.
Which is not the lowest we've had. That's the
I thought it would be I thought it would be about that. I thought it would be higher. I thought it would be in that mid-50s range. But
I did too. I was predicting right under Monster Squad for some reason.
Yeah.
Interesting.
As it is, just ahead of American Ninja.
Well, and yeah, honestly, if I was going to watch another movie again, I would watch American Ninja over this. So that's... I guess it's
really, there were so many jokes. I have a feeling I missed something that I would have enjoyed in this movie. I just, maybe I'd catch it on another viewing.
That is possible. Whereas with American Ninja, you're not likely to catch something you missed.
No, I missed nothing in American Ninja.
All right, well, let's move on to the next film where we're definitely going to catch something.
but it's okay, because if we spray the pole down, then we'll all be fine. We won't catch the germs that way. But yes, our next movie is the award eligible Santa's Sleigh, starring Bill Goldberg as Santa Claus.
Goldberg, starring first two Christmas movies we're doing. I guess they're not Christmas movies; they're holiday movies. But they kick off with a Goldberg as the star.
I know. What are the odds, right? Yeah. But I am looking forward to moving on to Santa's Sleigh because it'll kill you. Anyways, Jim, tell the folks at home where they can find us on the internet.
All right. Well, the show is on WeTalkPodcasts.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, and you can subscribe on YouTube as well. We've got the first three seasons are all up on YouTube, if that is the way that you like to consume your podcasts. And we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo when talking about the B-movies you love. And if Twitter and Facebook are your thing, please follow We Talk Podcasts. They'll keep you up to date as new episodes come out.
All right. Well, everybody wants to know when the new episodes come out because they're going to want to know about Santa's Sleigh, and they are going to want to keep up with season 4 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, Holland Damned. All right. I'm excited. So, for Jim and Nick and Jack, I am 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
When there's danger on the streets and evil is everywhere, the only solution is circumcised.
Who's the certified circumcised dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks?
Shabbat shalom, mama.
Adam Goldberg is the Hebrew Hammer.
Santa's been rubbed out by his evil son, Damien.
I'm Santa now!
In less than 24 hours, Hanukkah will be no more.
We have to put into place an agent. The Hebrew Hammer.
True confirmation test initiated.
Ooh, that's cold.
Circumcision confirmed.
He's a master of disguise.
You're the guy who stole Hanukkah.
The Hebrew Hammer!
He's a ladies' man.
I want you to talk dirty to me.
I want to have lots of children by you. I want to get a good paying, stable job.
Yeah.
I want for our children to go to private schools.
Yes, keep going, keep going.
Excuse me, children. He plans on personally canceling Christmas.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. There are Jews in aisle 12.
Judy Greer.
There's a reason they call him the Hebrew Hammer.
Oh, kiss me, you Semitic stallion.
Mario Van Peebles.
You know, you tie it in. You don't have to hold on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew that.
And Andy Dick.
Someone's gonna get everything they want for Christmas this year. Next!
The Hebrew Hammer.
Her bad, bold, big-nosed biblical brother.